Let me introduce Peter Gietz from DAS International. I think he's from Darmstadt, is that Emma?
Pardon?
Darmstadt?
Tübingen.
Oh, sorry.
Tübingen.
Aaron was from Darmstadt.
South Germany.
And he is telling us how to get towards the holy grail of authentication, the single sign-on, and what we can achieve now with current technology. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Volker. Actually, the title says Unified Login, so that was our initial game, but there will be a little bit about single sign-on as well. Okay, what I want to do is first introduce you to the actual project where we did this work and have one or two sentences about what DASI International is. The requirements of this project, then there's a short overview of the technologies that are very handy to do such things. We have heard a lot of these yesterday as well, so that might be a little repetition. Our first, aim was to find an Active Directory-based solution. It wasn't our aim, but the guy who was supposed to do it, he said, "I know Active Directory, let's first try that." And, I only have one slide on that. And then we thought, why not search for a completely open source solution? So open LDAP Zamba. Why did we want to do that? Some problems we had, some solutions. And then I'll have a couple of slides about a ZOAP-based administration interface. A bit about migration, although I can't do better than the previous speaker about that. Some experiments with Zamba 3.0. Okay, so DASI International, which stands for Directory Applications for Advanced Security and Information Management, is a spin-off of a directory-related research projects at the University of Tübingen. These were DFN projects. DFN is the German National Research Network, funded by the German government. And we had four projects in a row, and after that it was clear there will not be a lot of research money to do things like establishing services for the academic community in Germany. And that was actually the reason to set up this company. And this company was in charge of performing the last of these projects, which is called Ausbau und Weiterbetrieb eines Directory Kompetenzzentrums. So enhancing a directory competence center. The name of this competence center is DFN Directory Services. And one part of this new project was to find a solution for unified login for a university environment. So, German universities have a very heterogeneous landscape. They do have Linux and some Unix flavors, and of course Windows NT and Windows clients and so on. Our aim was to provide a solution for big universities, talking about 40,000 users. It should be integrated in existing infrastructure. It should be a scalable solution without performance loss. And such a solution should lead to a reduction of system administration work and even more important, of the help desk work. So if people have lots of passwords, you will have lots of calls at the help desk, "I forgot my password." So all in all, of course, it is about reduction of costs. Another thing is, if you have less passwords to remember, you might be able to remember a stronger password. So it isn't Mary, but maybe AFG21*, or something like that, which of course would be better, wouldn't it? So the requirements, we wanted to provide basic operating system functions for user and group lookup, user authentication for console logins, Unix, Linux and Windows, secure remote shell authentication, email submission, SMTP auth, retrieval, IMAP server with authentication, email routing, so not authentication, but just looking up this email address has to be routed to that email account, which again can be done via a directory server, and web page access. Very important also the integration with the white pages service and integration with other services that are based on directories. Of course, passwords must not be sent in clear text. There should be an enforcement of password policy and an even better way, single sign-on. So you just type in your password once and you are authenticated for all login and applications. So what kind of environment did we look at? We just read some statistics about the University of Tübingen Computing Center, where you have up to 70,000 emails to route per day. There was a peak of 220,000 emails, so a lot of spammers will have been working on that day. Up to 50,000 POP3 logins per day, 25,000 IMAP logins per day. So this amounts in quite some big figures. And one issue was to see whether different directory implementations would be able to for such an amount of traffic. So the useful technologies, as I said, we heard a lot about them. Again, I will just shortly. Oh yes, and Volker, when is my time out? So where is he? Oh, he's not in the room. So I had, well, let's say 20 minutes to go. Okay. So Kerberos is a network authentication protocol with strong authentication for client-server, key distribution center, and a ticket granting service. GSSAPI, Generic Security Service Application Program Interface, is a security framework that abstracts from underlying protocols. That is a strategy you find everywhere, which is, of course, very good to just have layers in between so you can do fancy things by sticking things together. And with a GSS API, you can include the Kerberos functionality. X509 for strong authentication is certificate-based via asymmetric encryption, private key, public key, and so on. There should be a third trusted party involved, the so-called certification authority. Security layers, which provide integrity and privacy protection via encryption. SSL, you all know, TLS, both of them use X509 certificates. Kerberos and Zazzle also can establish security layers. In the next slide, I'll have Zazzle. IPsec on the lower layer, the same X509-based encryption. Zazzle, simple authentication and security layer. That's a method for adding authentication support to connection-based protocols. This is supported by LDAP servers. There are, again, a lot of different mechanisms you can plug in. Plain, we don't want that, plain text. But Digest MD5, that's a challenge response mechanism. GSSAPI is a mechanism for Zazzle, which introduces a variety of things. And then there's this mechanism called external, where you can use external authentications. For instance, the X509 authentication in underlying protocols up to the IPsec layer. Name, service switch, you will be all aware of that. A layer in Unix C library that provides different means for listing or searching users, groups, IP services, and so on. Again, this layer provides a number of modules. You can just take the flat files as we know them, etc password, and so on. You can use NIS, but be aware, NIS is not very secure. But you can also use LDAP for storing the actual data. Another very nice thing is PAM, pluggable authentication modules. It's a framework for a login service. It manages authentication, account sessions, and passwords. And again, we have an LDAP module, PAM LDAP. We also have PAM Kerberos and a number of more things. So that was the old day, application, C library, flat files. And nowadays we have those little layers that make our lives much easier. No? NSS and PAM, and below you can just choose whatever you want. Okay, and a very useful technology is, of course, LDAP itself. This is my most favorite subject, but Volker told me I shouldn't really do an introduction to LDAP, so it's the only slide on that. It's a database or information model which is directly derived from X500 with a hierarchical structure. It is object-oriented. You have classes, and they can inherit attributes from other classes. And it is extensible for any kind of data. So whatever syntax is not yet defined, in theory you can define your own syntax, but then of course you have to implement that as well. But anyway, you have syntaxes for attributes, for whatever you really want to do with directories. You can even have JPEG photos and so on. But it's not only an information model but also a network protocol, a clear internet standard. You have RFCs, a client-server protocol, which again is very extensible. So you can use the protocol elements that are there, you can extend them, but you can also define new protocol elements. It allows for distribution of the data in the net, just like the World Wide Web, and it allows for replication of the data in the net as well, mirroring. And this is, since it is a network protocol, what is this? Since it is a network protocol, you can do it very nicely on the web. That's one of the major advantages compared to SQL databases or so on. Okay, so our first solution, as I said, was Active Directory based, and we found it useful in a primarily Windows-based landscape, especially the integrated Kerberos key distribution center. Together with Active Directory, easily provides a single sign-on functionality, but it didn't support, at least at that time, I should have checked if the new versions do support NIS schema. There is this Unix support for Active Directory, but that's not exactly what was standardized in the RFC. Even at that step of the project, we used an open LDAP server for the NIS data, and AD was only used for authentication. On the Unix side, you could use PAM LDAP and Kerberos, and it was just a matter of one line in the configuration file to switch between those two. And the single sign-on support was not only on the Windows side, but also on for Unix login and SMTP authentication, IMAP authentication, SSH, CVS, and FTP. That was what we built together, and that worked quite nice. So why did we search for something else? We needed a more flexible solution, something in which you can integrate your own code. And that's one of the big reasons for using open source. Licensing problems, we had a lot of this in the prior presentation. A better Unix support, only one directory for all applications, so not only to integrate the NIS stuff, but any directory services that a university would like to have, and easier administration, one central administration point. Different administrators have different access rights on subtree and attribute value, and well, I think the good old log files are better than some understandable error messages from Microsoft Windows. Easier replication mechanism. So this is maybe something one would like to have in a university environment. You would have one single master server with all the data. You want to have the login data, the passwords, the email addresses, the telephone numbers, university calendar. So here you have a node, Professor X, and below you can have all his lectures and so on. This can be distributedly administered. So one administration is just allowed to administer this subtree. Another one is allowed to go here. But again, not only subtree-wise, but also attribute-wise, you can say this administrator with this interface is only allowed to change telephone numbers, and the system administrator is allowed to change login data. And from this central store, you can replicate within the intranet or outside of the firewall any kinds of data to provide different services. So, you have your email directory, university calendar, the login server would be inside the firewall, and as example, the IMAP server logs in there as well as the console logins and so on. So, we experimented and thought that this is the minimal Linux installation you would like to you would need for having the Samba Open LDAP PAM environment. Of course, don't forget Samba. We took 228A, and the IDLX tools were also very useful for migration. So that's what we built up. Authentication-wise, so again, you can use replication for having, if one server is down, you still you can authenticate. It is administered centrally, and Windows connects via Samba, and Linux and Unix with this NSS switch and PAM stuff. So these are the platforms which work with this solution. Linux of BSD flavors, Solaris, HP UX, AIX, and Windows 2000 and Windows XP. So this is in production in our company net, and we had some tests in the university net, and this is a matter of negotiations when to implement that in production for the whole university. There are always system administrators who think, no, let's stick to the old solution. And that there are, of course, some pros and cons. I'll come to them a little bit later. In our environment, we have Linux, BSD, Windows 2000 client logins, our IMAP daemon, SendMail, SSH, and Tutos. This is our project planner, customer relations management, and we use this Cyrus Zazzle stuff. We also do caching, so this is a real scalable and fast solution. There were some problems. The major, or one of the most difficult ones, where we did spend some time before we found the solution in a mailing list. This is if you use Cyrus IMAP daemon with Zazzle, And again, PAM LDAP uses Zazzle as well, and the Zazzle library just doesn't think, well, it wasn't planned that you have two Zazzle servers, so to speak, so one of these Zazzle servers allocates the memory, and the second Zazzle server wants to allocate the same memory, and it just crashes. This is a bug in the Zazzle library itself, I would say, but who would like to redesign that? There's a wonderful workaround patch from Rain Tolowick. At the end of the presentation, I have all the references where you can, and the presentation, of course, will be available. Last but not least, we developed a SOAP-based user and administration interface, which is easy to use. SOAP is very portable. That was one of the reasons for the decision. It has nice content management system functions, and it has an LDAP API called LDAP user folder. So it was quite easy to stack this upon our solution. It uses encryption, and you can manage any kind of data with that. So, well, this is how it looks like now, but this is just early stage experimenting with it. But in the end, I think we would have a nice little interface for managing users and groups and so on. There are some more. So here you see the Unix information and the Windows information. Yeah, this is one user, and well, that's what we're working on it right now. And here you can authenticate with your password, and so on. Okay, so then we did some migration from the Active Directory solution to OpenLDAP, and there the IDLX tools were quite helpful for migrating the password. We wrote a small script that migrates other information that was stored in the Active Directory to get it over into the OpenLDAP server. In theory, you can also migrate the profiles, since Zamba supports the roaming profile feature. And I think the tool that was mentioned right now, we didn't know about that. I think that might solve the problem. Until now, we didn't really get it to work. The profiles did migrate somehow, but if you logged in, you just didn't have the desktop you wanted to have. But I'm quite sure, and I'm quite sure some of you in this room have already solved this to have the profiles. Is that true? Profiles in LDAP.
Wonderful. There's a whole section in the new Samba how to.
Yeah. But that's not on the website. It's just in the CVS, if I understood correctly. Yeah. And so.
It will be on the website.
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to that. Okay. So as a result, we had a stable service via replicated LDAP servers. No performance problems via caching, and we did tests with the Active Directory solution and the OpenLDAP solution, although I must confess that OpenLDAP is a bit slower than Active Directory on the same machine. It's no problem with these amounts of data, 150,000 authentications and even more. So both provide enough performance for such big environments. And of course, caching is again even improving this performance. But we also tested it without the caching, of course, and again, there was no problem at all. Yeah. So the pros and cons, how many minutes?
Oh, as we started a bit late, I think there's 10 minutes for you.
Oh, wonderful. That would be more
including
than enough.
Questions, so.
Yeah. So the advantages, user remembers only one password. The administrators and the help desk people have a far easier life. You have a unification of the authentication process, so now you really know everything authenticates exactly here. And in bigger environments, you sometimes don't really know where the authentication takes place, whether there is a clear text password going through the wire somewhere and so on. With this solution, you're just sure it's LDAP and TLS. You have a central point of password evaluation, but you can provide a gateway to the LDAP service that looks if the password is strong enough or not. What is still missing is a password policy implementation in the LDAP server itself. I have been looking at that, and if we find time enough, we're going to do this implementation, because if you use LDAP as central authentication server, you should make sure that you have strong passwords and that the passwords will be have to be changed every couple of weeks or months and so on. This is still one of the backdraws of this new solution, because in Active Directory you had this password policy all along. But as I said, if we find time, we will do that in the Open LDAP server. And an advantage before you implement such a thing, and that was in the previous talk as well, you first have to sit down and really think and have a good concept to do that. And again, in a big environment, there are historically processes to that evolve to sort of a chaos. And if you want to do something like that, you first have to sort it all out. Of course, such a unified login is a single point of failure process-wise, but that you have the solution of replicating the LDAP server. But it is, of course, also a single point of failure with respect of password loss or that somebody else knows the password and so on. So if you have all applications and logins only one password, you should really take care that this password is not stolen. Of course, you should always have a root account on the client that does not use the central authentication, so you can log into the computer with when the network is offline and so on. So after having this in production, we started to look at Zamba 3.0, but this is just the beginning, and we're very much looking forward to the official release, of course. But some features, this LDAP password synchronization feature, for example, really makes us eager to go to Zamba 3.0. So you can just use the standard Windows password change, this password will get into the LDAP server. Zamba will take care of the necessary steps to update the things, both Windows and Unix passwords. And when you delete an entry, you can say just delete the Zamba account data, or delete the whole entry. The LDAP Trust IDs feature is very nice. You can then assume that the ID you can assume that the IDs from the LDAP server are always correct, and then you don't have to recheck this again. The upgrade process from Zamba 2.8 to 3.0 was quite nice. I did expect more hassle. Having the data in the LDAP directory, I think, helps a lot in this migration. So you just don't care about them. How stable Zamba 3.0 is in the current situation, you know much more about that. But we didn't find any problems yet. Then... What we still are missing in Zamba 3.0 is to completely simulate an Active Directory domain controller, that also does replication with other Active Directories. And yeah, my question would be, is nobody in this room interested to really get all things together? I think most of the problems are solved.
I think the better question is anybody not interested in this?
Well, I assume everyone is interested, but we need the three, four nice guys who really do it. Yeah. So this is, well, we at least, and okay, let's show hands. Who is interested in a complete Active Directory domain controller? Yes.
So
okay. Yeah. That's a big. Well, we could talk. And
we have
see.
A panel later, so we might rephrase that question again. So.
Okay. The group mapping of Zamba 3.0, we had some problems with that. Is that still incomplete? Okay. So it was not our fault. Wonderful. So where to go from here? Of course, we want to go to Zamba 3.0. We want to put the nice Kerberos single sign-on features that we had in the Active Directory solution. We want to have them in OpenLDAP as well, which is in theory, again, possible, and that's where we volunteer to stick the things together. Of course, password policy in OpenLDAP. And we had that again. So here are the references, all the RFCs. Here are the references to the projects and other things, all open source. And here is a reference to a diploma thesis which was made inside of our project, where you can find a lot of things I was talking about right now. So, thank you very much for your attention. Any questions? Yeah.
You said about performance. What machines did you test it?
Well, that was normal. What was it? Pentium. What was it? Well, it was a normal desktop computer you had at those days, and OpenLDAP, and we tested some more. Netscape was quite fast. Active Directory was fast. So with these three, you wouldn't have problems even on cheap hardware.
Could you repeat the question?
Which backend in OpenLDAP we use? We use OpenLDAP to something, and the normal backend is the BDB4, which is quite nice. You have some transaction loggings in the backend, and I think it's the most recommendable at this time. The people are doing very interesting work on a hierarchical backend, which would be performance-wise, even more interesting, and especially in terms of writing. By now, you have the myth that LDAP is good for reading but bad for writing if you use this hierarchical backend, but it's not yet in the distribution, but it will be quite soon, I think. That is a very nice one to experiment with as well. But BDB4 is the standard and should do it, yeah?
I'm really glad I've got an LDAP expert nailed on the stage. I got asked a question at Linux World in New York that I didn't know the answer to. It was an executive at Merrill Lynch, and they were looking at using Linux on the desktop. And he was experimenting with, they have an LDAP central authentication, and he had his laptop set up to use PAM and NS switch to talk to LDAP. Yeah. And then he said it was great, it was wonderful, and then he took the laptop home and realized he couldn't log in. How do you cope with the disconnection problem when you have everything centrally authenticated to LDAP and you're running on a Linux laptop? Is there a way that you can basically cache the last used credentials like Windows does?
Not Not that I knew of, no. I mean, but if you do a proper logout and then connect from home and do a login again,
no,
you shouldn't have that problem.
He's not on a network. He just wants to log in and work locally.
Okay, well, that is no problem. I mean, in PAM, you can just define an order of login strategies, and, mm-hmm. and there you can, at the end, say local login with a local account.
No, he doesn't have a local account.
Well,
all
then
the credentials
of course,
are in that.
Of course,
no,
if you don't have a local account and you don't have a network connection, then, of course, you can't log in.
But Windows allows this for them. You see, Windows, you can cache the last used network credentials and then log on and still use the same user ID.
Yeah.
And that's what they need.
Yes, yes.
So this is something that, again, I mean, this is a small ease of use issue, but it's something that Microsoft think of and we don't.
Okay. Well, there is a solution for that as well. You have this new protocol called CUP, Client Update Protocol, which, and, well, there are even several persistent connections. So the clients, you have to have an LDAP instance locally, and that can get the data if online, and if offline, you can use them, but...
Right.
Well,
so in other words, I
should think about that before.
Yeah, because this is something that I was kicking around with Jerry Carter, who's the head support in SAMR, and he's like, we have no way in Linux of caching a remote account information locally, and we really need something like that.
Okay, you could have an open LDAP server locally.
Yeah, but that kind of sucks to have to run that on your laptop just to be able to log in
under
those circumstances.
Of course,
Any other questions or comments?
Ich glaube, das mache ich mal lieber auf Deutsch. Haben Sie es geschafft oder hast du es geschafft, die Passwörter in einem einzigen Attribut unterzubringen?
So
dass das Samba-Passwort und das POSIX-Passwort in einem einzigen Attribut standen und nicht in verschiedenen Entries.
So the question was... whether we made it, we have a solution for storing the password only once, the same password for Samba and for POSIX.
In
a single attribute, and that is not really possible because there are different crypt algorithms for that, so I don't see that this would ever be possible.
You should be able to modify PAM LDAP to use the NT hash.
Do you really want to do that?
The solution to that is basically to modify, in fact there is already a modification to Open LDAP where it will look up an attribute which contains the LM hash. I don't know why they picked that one. Unfortunately, they decided out of, I think, pure spite to not look in the attribute where we keep it, but in their own attribute. But they have this situation where they can look at different hash types when checking a password. And if someone actually got around to fixing the bloody thing, we could actually keep just one password hash. The NT hash would get most things done.
True. There's a new draft about that. Is it really so essential to have such a thing, to have it in one attribute? I mean, the different applications would know which attribute to use. It's just the management of the password. Well, normally you have an interface anyway in front of the LDAP, a web interface, for instance, and you can easily hide that in the interface. So. For bulk things. But again, you can have a very easy script that produces the two hashes of the password.
Okay, I want to make a remark to the subject it hold. There is a solution for storing the password in one attribute, but it is based on commercial. I'm running a Sun One directory server 4.16 with the NTSync services on the NTPDC, and this service allows the password change from NT to LDAP and vice versa in one attribute. This is a solution. Yes, it's one solution. It's one attribute. No, it's in LDAP one attribute. The user password from the POSIX account. There is in the LDAP scheme, there is one user ID and one password. It's a sync. It's a sync between LDAP and the NTPDC.
Or you have it even worse, just as clear text, which we don't want to have. I mean, then if you don't hash it, you wouldn't have the problem. Then you can have the attribute in one, the password in one attribute. But
I think there's really need for a talk. How do I get passwords across between the two different worlds? So
yeah.
Anybody volunteering for next year? Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Again.
Yeah, so there's coffee outside.
Okay, thank you.